Okay, welcome. We're on a special edition of the Jewish Prayer Podcast, the first time ever trying like this, something like this. We've been going in order of the Siddur, but we are here just a few days before the Jewish New Year, before Rosh Hashanah, which is certainly a time of prayer. And I said, hey, how about we do an episode about Rosh Hashanah and a little bit about prayer for Rosh Hashanah. So let me know what you think, but I'm excited to do this episode. So certainly Rosh Hashanah is a day of prayer. People spend a lot of time in the shul, in the synagogue. And I hope you take some of the lessons you learned over here at the Jewish Prayer Podcast and use it to enhance and enhance your prayer to have a better understanding of what you're doing when you're praying. I also look to the future. I hope that one day we'll cover what is taking so long in shul, what is taking so long in synagogue and Rosh Hashanah, and try to give that deeper, more profound meaning. But for today, I want to do something different, something special, and a very unique form of prayer that we do on Rosh Hashanah that we don't do any other time of the year. Really, there are a few things that are unique, but this one way is something that we really don't do any other time. Let's explain what it is, but before we get to that, let's discuss what Rosh Hashanah is. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? What is a Jewish idea? It's a Jewish New Year, but obviously we're celebrating that holiday in a way that no other New Year is celebrated, with prayer, with connection. And in Jewish thought, it's understood as a day of judgment. It's a day that Hashem decides what our coming year is going to look like, what material needs we'll have, our health, and all the little details of our lives, and on a broad scale, everything that's going to happen in the world is decided on this holy day of Rosh Hashanah. The question, and like we like to start with a question so we get a deeper understanding of it, is it's a weird day to have a judgment day. If you were having maybe the equivalent is a final, a test to see how you did, usually those kind of tests go at the end. I would put a judgment day on the last day of the year. Hey, let's see how you did this year, and we will judge your performance. Isn't that when you would put it? Towards the end of the year, that's when you have testing of performance, and you can decide how to proceed. Our Rosh Hashanah, our judgment day, is nothing like that, obviously. It's actually on the first day of the year. Well, on the first day of the year, you almost have to ask, what are you judging? Are you judging my performance on last year? Shouldn't it have been part of last year, if that's what it's about? Interesting. Maybe you're surprised that you never thought of that question, but it's a good question. Why is Judgment Day on day number one? And so I think what the answer is Jewish wisdom is telling us we're not judging what you did. It's not a judgment on the past year. The things that you made mistakes about in the past year, you have to fix. Maybe that's what Yom Kippur is about. You have to apologize. You have to make amends. The judgment is not on the past. When it's day one of the year, all judgment can be is on the present, on who you are. Now, what does that mean, who am I am? Aren't I just what I did? Not really. Not really. You are who you are. You are who you want to be, who your desires are. That's who you are, not based on your past. Interestingly enough, not even based on your future, what you're going to do. What the Torah sometimes calls Ba'asher Husham. We actually mentioned this line in the reading of the Torah portion on Rosh Hashanah. Ba'asher Husham, in the story of Yishmael, an interesting story. We're not going to read that. But if you read that story, you'll see he was judged for who he was right there, not what he did in the past, not what he did in the future. But right then and there, he was judged, and Hashem was merciful on him. And so too we turn to Hashem, and we're judged right then and there of who we are. And so the way we perform is not discussing our past or our future, but who we are, who our deepest desires are. Rosh Hashanah is a very raw day, is a very real day. You pull away anything that happened, pull away any of your titles, your background, your any of the credentials that you have, and just who you are at its core. The special prayer that we have on Rosh Hashanah that we never have any other time is the prayer of the shofar. You may not have thought of the shofar as a prayer, but it is referred to in our davening as the prayer of the shofar. We ask that Hashem hear the sound of the shofar and respond, and that's, in a certain sense, the shofar is a prayer. And while there are other times we blow it on Yom Kippur, that is not nearly as significant as the blowing on Rosh Hashanah, which is mentioned in the Torah. So what is the blowing of the shofar? Yes, it connects to the story, different stories throughout the Torah, the story of Isaac, the binding of Isaac. But essentially, it's an instrument, a very, very basic instrument. And all you do is you blow into that shofar. Take away any sophistication. It's not really about what key you're on. You just blow. There are different lengths of sounds, which is an interesting topic on its own. But here I just want to focus on the shofar itself and the blowing of the shofar. All it is a breath. Every time you talk, every prayer is made up of speech. You are using enunciation and movement of your lips and your teeth and your tongue to create sophisticated ideas and give that over in the form of speech. But there's always breath there. And at its most basic, you just have to breathe. And so on Rosh Hashanah, you take away all the sophistication and just give that breath. I'll share a story, a very well-known story that I think speaks to this. It's a story about it's a Hasidic story about the Baal Shem Tov, who was the founder of the Hasidic movement. And it was one time on Rosh Hashanah, and the world was getting judged, and he, in his holy way, we're not going to discuss the accuracy of the story. I think the lesson there is a very strong lesson, so I want to share that. He, in his very holy way, he was able to see around the world, and he saw that in the heavens, the world, it wasn't looking good for the world. Too many sins, not enough good deeds, not enough sincerity, and the world was not slated to have a good judgment. And he searched the world over in his mind, through meditation, to find a merit. And he saw a young shepherd boy come into the shul. Now, he was not educated very much. He knew he was Jewish. He was a proud Jew. But he never went to any kind of yeshiva. He had to work as a shepherd just to get paid, to be able to get by in life. And so he came into shul, and he looked at the prayer book, and he didn't know which way was up. He didn't know anything. He said, the only thing I know is, as a young boy, he learned the Aleph Beis, the Hebrew alphabet. And so he started talking to Hashem and saying Aleph Beis, and he said it, cried it out in a true and a real way from the depths of his soul, in the way a person who truly believes in God and truly understands that only Hashem can answer him and give him what he needs. Gimel and Dalet, and he goes through the whole Aleph Beis like that. And when he finishes the Aleph Beis, Reish, Shin, Tuf, he turns to Hashem, he says, here's the letters. I never went to school. I don't know how to put them together. You take these letters and you put them together and turn them into a prayer that's worthy of Hashem. Baal Shem Tov heard this, and he felt that this was sincere, this was real, this is what the world needed, and now we can have a good and sweet year. The message of the story is that it's not about what you're saying, it's about how you say it, it's about the heart behind it and what you mean. And in an even more extreme way, it's the shofar itself. The shofar, you're not saying anything, there are no words, there's no communication, there's no depth there, but there's something very strong and raw and real that comes from the depth, from the heart, from the stomach of a person, and cries out to God, knowing that there's nothing else that can help them. So on this Rosh Hashanah, I think that's a beautiful way to pray. That is how we pray. Go to shul, hear the shofar blowing, and spend a few moments, yes, if you know how to pray in Hebrew or English, in your own words, but spend a few moments of just being very, very real and just crying out and saying, I don't even know what to say anymore, but I know that I need you, and I need you to help me, Hashem. I don't even know what that means, but you know what that means. Help me understand how to find my own mission in life, how to fulfill that mission. Give me the materials that I need to be able to fulfill that mission, food, health, and happiness, presence of mind, calmness, all the important things in life so that I can do what you need me to do. And that's what I really desire more than anything else. Say that real, cry out to him, and he should answer you and all of us with happiness, with sweetness, with a great, wonderful new year. I want to wish everyone, all my devoted listeners, thank you for coming back to this podcast every week. Thank you for those who gave feedback. But thank you, most importantly, for everyone who was listening. I hope it improved your prayer. And I really hope that this year should give us more episodes and we're able to be consistent and able to share the prayer. And that should help us in our own prayer journey. Shana Tova. Thank you very much.